Okay. Dr. Lopez, Dr. Carolyn Lopez, is a native Chicagoan. She received her medical degree in 1978 from the University of Illinois College of Medicine and completed her training with the Rush Christ Family Medicine Residency Program. She is board certified in family medicine. Dr. Lopez has extensive experience in both the private and public healthcare sectors. She has held leadership positions in managed care, a community health center, and served as chair of family medicine at the John H. Stroger Junior Hospital of Cook County, formerly Cook County Hospital. She is a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at Rush Medical College, president of the Chicago Board of Health, a member of the State of Illinois Board of Health, and is a past president of the Institute of Medicine of Chicago. Dr. Lopez currently serves on several other medical boards and is currently serving as the interim executive director for the Institute of Medicine of Chicago. Dr. Lopez is breaking barriers along her career path. She is a past president of the Illinois Academy of Family Physicians, where she was the first woman and first Latino to be selected as president. She is also a past officer of the American Academy of Family Physicians, where she was elected as the first woman and first and Latino vice president and speaker of the Congress of Delegates. Dr. Lopez will discuss the importance of effective communication and networking as tools toward leadership building. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Lopez.
Yes or no? Boy, I do. You absolutely may record this presentation, and I have absolutely no conflicts on this one. This is what you see is what you get. There are also no slides.
Do you have your? That's right.
No slides.
Okay. Perfect.
No slides. It's just me. So we'll just go for it. As was mentioned, I was born and raised in Chicago. Raised, educated, worked. Firmly rooted. My roots go so deep, I don't think I could ever be uprooted at this point. And, you know, I'm glad you asked us to talk about our first mentor, because I was going to do that anyway, actually. I had the benefit of something that really wasn't very able or possible at all in the early 50s when I was born. Yes, it was 1951. It doesn't matter. I'm 64. I'm proud. What I had was a family doctor who was a woman. Okay. It was very unusual at the time. Okay. And my goodness, for her, she grew up in medicine in the late 20s, so her story was quite an interesting one of trying to overcome those challenges. So I guess I really had a mentor from the very beginning of my life, since she was the one who delivered me. But maybe in large part because I saw a woman as a physician, okay, that I decided when I was 10 years old that I wanted to be a doctor. Okay, now I didn't know much more than that. Okay, I just wanted to be a doctor. Had no thought particularly of the Board of Health. If I had any association, in fact, with the Board of Health, it was because that was also the time when we were starting to do a lot of childhood vaccinations. And so I remember standing in line with everybody else in school, and the Board of Health was mentioned in the background on those things because it was a big initiative for the board at the time. But that was my beginning. That was how I became interested and really beginning to think about what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be a doctor. So how did I get from there to here? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the specifics of that journey a little bit later. But some of the things that I think should be emphasized, and Constance already mentioned these, are some of the skills. because it didn't just happen. We all know that it didn't just happen. And there are skills beyond the obvious, okay, yes, to be able to be bright enough to get into the appropriate schools and get good grades and all those other sorts of things. But what were the other skills that were actually important for me to develop on the way? Well, probably the most significant one was communication. Absolutely effective communication. And as we learn, okay, as we go through our own educational experiences, we should learn that communication is really two things. It's speaking, okay, but it's also listening. Okay. And maybe because I am an introvert, and yes, people are often surprised when they look at what I've done and said, an introvert? Really? I'm a compensated introvert. And for introverts out there, and I know you're out there, okay, I see some heads shaking, yes, you can compensate for some of those things. It's not easy, but you can. And what you find is that some of the things that is easy for us as introverts is actually incredibly valuable and a much overlooked skill, and that is the art of listening. Sometimes it is the introvert in the group who is the only one listening. I mean, everybody's busy talking, okay? But it's the introvert who is actually listening to what's being said. Okay. And the good listener isn't just hearing things. The good listener is learning to synthesize, okay? Understand. I mean, when we say, I hear what you're saying, what we really are conveying is that we're understanding what your words are, and we're understanding the implications of them. Okay. But for those of us who are introverts, it's not enough for us to just sit there and process all this and keep it to ourselves and walk out the smartest girls or men in the room, okay, boys in the room. We have to be able to stop and then reflect back to those around us and say, okay, okay. The problem that's been discussed is XYZ. Here are the things that have been mentioned. Okay. What do you think? And what you'll find, at least what I found, is that that's much appreciated. Because a lot of times while people are talking, they're not doing that processing. Okay? Maybe they are to some degree, but they're not always hearing. There's not always listening. Okay? They're not always making the connections that can be made. And that doesn't mean that you walk out and everybody's agreeing with your analysis. Okay? It does mean that people understand what you're saying because they stop. Suddenly they stop talking when they hear somebody's trying to pull everything together. Okay. And they make an attempt to try and figure out how to move forward. And it's especially valuable in certain settings. So that's the advantage of being an introvert. Now here's where the bigger challenge is for the introvert. It's learning to get out of your comfort zone. Okay. Your comfort zone of, I'm just going to sit here quietly and hope nobody notices me. And rather, to be able to make those connections and stand up and speak out. Okay. And that is not easy for an introvert. Okay. It does take more than a little courage sometimes, especially if it's in a group that you don't know. Okay. And they don't know you, and you don't know how you're going to be received. But it's still important to do that. And you do it courteously and you do it thoughtfully, and you're going to do it with mistakes as you go along the way. Okay? And it's probably another, I think, very important thing that we have to learn. And I think as I was looking at some of the slides and hearing some of the words and information that Constance was sharing, I think one of the things that can hold us back is, you know, number one, a fear of making mistakes as we're going through these things. Okay. And I remember very early in my training, a very wise teacher saying the only person who has never made mistakes is either lying or they've never done anything. So the question and the challenge isn't whether or not you make mistakes, but how you learn from them and how you recover from them. Okay. And it's the recovery that helps build the bridge to the next step. Part of that coming out of yourself and reaching out leads to networking. Okay. But it can be a big challenge. Okay. And I will be honest with you. I remember the day I stood in a hotel room very early in my involvement with the Illinois Academy of Family Physicians, and I looked in the mirror and talked to myself and said, okay, now you're going to go downstairs to that reception where you don't know anybody, okay, and you're just going to do it, and it's going to be okay. And I did, and it was okay. But that doesn't mean that suddenly then I was elevated into the positions, because I was as politically naive about medical politics as one could possibly imagine. Okay. I mean, really green. Okay. So green that I had figured out by the time I was on the board that the thing you did was when you were in your third year, you ran to be the chair of the board. Okay. But that's all I had figured out. I didn't figure out the process of doing that. Okay. So on the day of that meeting, I went in to the gathering before the meeting had started, and I happened to notice that, gee, my other two board members, one who I knew was going to be running for chair of the board, he seems to be going around talking to people. And then it suddenly hit me. Oh, my God, somebody's got to nominate me. Oh, God, what have I done? More to the point, what haven't I done? And so I started scrambling. I thought, I know. I'll ask this one person, a woman, who I knew. We were both on faculty at our medical college. I said, would you nominate me? And she had a pained look on her face. And she said, well, and this is another lesson for us. She said, well, you know, I went to residency with John. So I don't think so. And now I was stuck. Okay, what to do? What to do? What to do? So the board meeting began, and at the right point, there was the call for nominations. John was nominated. A very pregnant pause. And then I just gulped and nominated myself, which was perfectly appropriate. But again, I'm an introvert now. And the colleague who wouldn't nominate me felt like uncomfortable enough to second. Just second. Well, this is going to shock you all. I lost that election. But at the end of it, I congratulated John and then worked the rest of that year as hard as I could to help him be successful. And an interesting thing happened. Okay. John was basically a really good guy, and we actually got along very well. And there was a day in the future, okay, beyond that, eventually I became president of the organization, and that all worked out fine. But after that came the big thing about, okay, now it's time to go national. Okay. Well, again, you have this rank order of things, and because John had preceded me along the path, he would have had first right to this the coveted delegate seat. Alternate delegate seat, actually. And John said, look, okay, you know what? I'm really not all that into it. And actually, if we're looking at the good of this organization, the Illinois Academy, Carolyn has a much better chance of moving forward. So I'm not going to step up to accept that seat. Instead, he stepped aside for me. And the timing of that then made the other things possible. So that failure of mine, this is by way of saying don't be afraid of failure. That failure of mine and how I recovered from that, how I handled that, made all the difference in the world about other things. So really that then gets into the networking piece of it. And networking is incredibly important. When I look at the things that, many of the things that you heard, much of that happened. Yeah, I had to work, you know. But in spite of things that some crazy people say, nobody does things by themselves. I can point to any number of people, who unlocked a door. Yes, I had to open it and go through and then make what I could out of it, but they unlocked the door for me. And you find those folks in various places. Sometimes you won't even, you're involved in something for no, not because you're anticipating you have this great design to be thus and such, but rather it's a professional organization like the APHA. Or a local organization or some other professional association. And you're involved and you're working on things and you're giving something to the organization. And that will get noticed. And then you make some connections. And then if you're watching, if you're listening, and if you're learning along the way, those connections allow you to find other opportunities, other networking possibilities that make it possible for you to move forward in what you're doing, to give your to give life to your dreams, to give life to your passions. I'm going to make a comment about social media here because I think we have to speak to that. It's different for folks now as opposed to when I was coming up. And I don't tweet. I'm afraid of Facebook. But it's a reality. But I challenge those younger folks out there, our younger sisters and brothers, to not get so tied to, use the social media as a tool. Don't get so tied to it that it really becomes an encumbrance. So I promised you the journey. And the journey was that many of those things in my career, the leadership in business, the leadership in organized medicine, the leadership in other arenas, brought me to the notice so that I rose to the importance of being invited to become a fellow of the Institute of Medicine of Chicago. Well, that was great. Then for whatever reason, I don't know why, they invited me to become a member of their board of governors. Unbeknownst to me, the past president of the IOMC happened to be the president of the Board of Health. And he invited me one day to become a member of the Board of Health. What the heck? It seemed like it was something that I thought would be interesting. And I took advantage of the opportunity. And the door then opened. And I have had the opportunity for the past several years to serve as the president now of the Board of Health and work with some exceptional people, one of whom you're going to be hearing from very soon. And in fact, feel like I'm making a contribution to the health of the people of Chicago. And with that, I will step back.
Terrific. Thank you. Very insightful.